Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. This is a very, very practical and important verse of Scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. So what we're comparing here is a false balance and a just weight. A just weight, what that is specifically is something that has been calibrated that you know weighs a particular amount. For instance, if the just weight were 1 pound and the item that you had for the scale weighed exactly, precisely 1 pound, then you could put that weight on one side of a scale. And you could put anything on the other side of the scale, it doesn't make any difference what it is, and when you had a pound of that substance on the other side of the scales, then you would be in balance. And that would be a true balance, not a false balance. And that would be a just weight, which is the delight of the Lord, not a false weight. So you have to have the right weight on the scale in order to get the scale to balance properly. Typically, what would happen, and it's been discussed in the Bible, is that someone would have a short weight or a short measure instead of a just weight or a just measure. For instance, they would measure things in the Bible, and for instance, a talent is a weight in the Bible. Well, if a guy was a crook, he would have something that looked like the size of something that weighed a talent, because, you know, it's like familiar to the people that were merchants that a certain thing that weighed a talent would be a certain size. All right, so you have something that looks like it, but the merchant has hollowed out a piece of the weight so that it doesn't really weigh a talent. It weighs 7/8 of a talent, for instance. So he sticks that on one side of the scale. Well, when he weighs out the wheat or the barley or the oats or the bread or whatever he's weighing out on the other side of the scale, the scale is going to come into balance when there is 7/8 of a talent on the other side, and the man is going to pay for a full talent. And so he's going to be shorted. He is going to be tricked or cheated out of 1/8 of a talent. And consequently, the Lord says that is an abomination. That is a false balance. And the Lord wouldn't go for that. Now, there are other times when you read in the Bible things like a short measure. So if a person's going to buy an ephah of flour, then there is a certain basket that is the size of an ephah, and the guy trims it so that it doesn't hold a full ephah. And so what he pays for is a full ephah. What he gets is something that's less than that, or a short measure. If you're a fisherman and you like to fish with shrimp, you've seen the trick pulled before. You go to the bait stand and you pay for a quart of shrimp, and they have a quart bucket there that's, you know, like something you freeze things in the freezer, and they put a few holes in it to drain the water in it, and then they dip that quart container in the water and then put the shrimp in as they're lifting the container out of the water. And what happens is the shrimp look like they're just piled outside of your quart container, but in fact, what's happened is the water in the bottom of that container hasn't run out fast enough, and so you're not even buying a full quart of shrimp. You get shorted. But you pay for a full quart. And so the Lord says, man, we're not going to do this. I find that false balance abominable. See? And I find that false weight abominable. I like a just weight and a just balance. Now, You know, back in the old days, they used to accuse the butcher of putting his thumb on the scale. I don't know if you remember, but in the butcher shop, they didn't have these electronic digital type scales. They used to have a scale that had a spring in it, and you put the meat on top of it, and then it began to turn the scale until it reached a pound or 2 pounds or 3 pounds or whatever you were trying to get. And if the butcher put his hand on the scale, then he was adding weight that wasn't there. You were paying for a full pound or 2 pounds of meat, but you were only getting 7/8 of a pound, for instance, because he applied some pressure with his finger while you were deciding whether or not you wanted a little more than what he had given you. I remember, for instance, when a friend of mine was entering into the military, he had to weigh 107 pounds. And I know this seems strange that he didn't weigh 107 pounds when he was in high school, but he didn't. He had to weigh 107 pounds or something like that in order to be able to get into the Airborne 82nd. And so he drank milkshakes and a bunch of water and then put lead, thin pieces of lead strips inside the elastic band of his underwear so that he could weigh enough to get into the military. That wasn't a just weight. The scale was reading properly, but what was on the other end of the scale was tipping it in the favor of more weight than was really on the body of the man that was being weighed. The funny thing about that is that when he did get into Fort Bragg and he did train for the paratroopers, the first time he ever jumped out of an airplane, he caught a thermal, something most of those men had been trying to do for the entire time they'd been there. He caught a thermal. Instead of going down with the rest of the paratroopers, he went up. And he started screaming as he pulled on those lines, "No wonder they wanted me to be a full weight," thinking he didn't have enough weight to pull himself down. He was going to go up like a kite without a string. I know it's a funny story, but you get the point. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. I can remember all the times that we would ship cattle. My father used to be there on the scale, and we'd run the cattle into the scale and weigh them and then move them onto the truck. The buyer was right there with him. And after every few loads of cattle that had come on that scale, my dad would holler, "Balance!" And we wouldn't put any more cattle onto the scale until he had rebalanced the scale to make sure that they were just. Now, what is a just weight? Well, a just weight is a standard. And if it's the right weight, if it's not a cheat, then anything you measure against it is going to be right weight and balanced whenever it equals the just weight. Now, when you think about that then, and you apply this verse to us spiritually, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight, then you know immediately there are a couple of standards that you have to measure against exactly right. One of them is Jesus. Jesus. When you're measuring righteousness, then Jesus is the just weight because Jesus never sinned. And so when you put Jesus on one side of the scale and you on the other side, you're going to come up short. You're going to come up short because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You will not balance out. Jesus Christ will tip the scale his way in favor of his righteousness. Now that's very important because that's a very simple illustration, and that simple illustration demonstrates the need of every sinner to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. Bar none. Anytime that I've ever had the opportunity to witness to somebody and I tell them that Jesus Christ is the just standard of righteousness and they're going to be judged compared to him, well, they immediately understand they don't stand a chance. Now, they may decide that they don't believe what I just told them about having to be measured against Jesus Christ, but if they believe that and they understand it and they don't reject the truth of God's words concerning being measured against Jesus Christ at the judgment, they're going to see then, like they've never seen before, their personal need of Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? Because they're going to have Jesus Christ's righteousness on their side of the scale in order to pass the righteousness that's on the other side of the scale. In other words, Jesus' righteousness has to be on both sides of the scale. Well, we know that Jesus Christ's righteousness is on the one side of the scale because he's in there. Now, if he's in you, see, you've received him, and he's in you, when you step on the scale, then you're going to equal his righteousness. You got it? It's so simple, you know, that a 5-year-old child could understand it in vacation Bible school, but then it's so simple that it seems to defy the minds of those who are brilliant because they can't figure how God could judge somebody as smart and brilliant as they are on such a simple scale. But why make it difficult? He's already paid the price. Now listen, if you put your self-righteousness on the other side of the scale rather than Jesus, you're going to get a false balance. In other words, if you put your religious ritual, your accomplishments, your good works on one side of the scale, and then you step on the other side of the scale, you're going to be in balance, but you're going to be a false balance. You're going to still come up short, even though you've seen the scales come into balance. Because you are simply measuring yourself against your own self-righteousness and not against the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is perfect. You're like these guys that shortchanged the pound, that took away an eighth of a pound by drilling a hole in the standard so that it couldn't be seen, and then you're putting some righteousness in on the other side, but you're not putting in enough because there's only 7/8 on the other side. Let me tell you something. If you have 99/100 of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which you don't, but if you did have 99/100 of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you know what? You'd still be short. And if you come up short of the glory of God, you don't make it to heaven. Nobody does. It's a false balance. The only way to equal the scale is to put Jesus on one side and then put Jesus in you on the other side, and you'll balance out. And you get him by receiving him. Now you can see why God finds using self-righteousness as your measure abominable. Because God is not interested in you measuring yourself against yourself. Paul said something about that in the Bible. Comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. And that's not wise. That's wrong. And God finds that abominable. All right, now that's the case of measuring righteousness. Jesus Christ is the standard on one side, and you will not bring the scale into balance until Jesus Christ is with you on the other side. Anything short of you having the righteousness of Jesus Christ will not work. And you can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ by receiving him and getting saved. Just like that. All right, now here's another just way, another standard. It's the King James Bible. You say, why do you want to put the King James Bible on the scale? Well, because it's perfect. Seriously, I mean, they've tried, as I've told you before, nearly 400 years of trying to find a provable error beyond a reasonable doubt in the King James Bible, and they cannot do it. Oh, they go back to the Greek and the Hebrew, and they say that Easter is wrong and that Palestina is wrong and other things like that, but they're comparing to a standard of Greek and Hebrew, and they will not, people that do that are not, absolutely not consistent in the way they use the Greek and the Hebrew that they have, the text that they have, in applying those things to translation. They're not. And we've shown you over and over again, particularly on things like Easter, that when you go back through and actually study that text, the Bible, the King James Bible, is not promoting a pagan holiday, but showing you that the king that was trying to take Peter's life was waiting until his own pagan holiday was passed during the Feast of Unleavened Bread before he tried to kill him. If you read it the way the modern Bibles have translated it, where they've changed it to Passover, you're saying that Herod is going to have to wait an entire year before taking Peter's life, and that's not what's in the text. Passover's already come and gone. They're in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, if you'll read the context, the pagan feast that Herod, who is an Edomite king, is waiting for, is the feast to his queen, Ishtar, Easter. And the King James Bible got it right. It really did. Now, when you're measuring the words of God and you're looking for "Thus saith the Lord," you've got to put a King James Bible on one side of the scale, because it's the only one that's right. All right, and then if you put anything on the other side that is not the words of God, that thing is going to come up off balance. The scale is going to read wrong. If you want the scale to balance, what you're going to have to have the Word of God on both sides. If something is scriptural on one side, like for instance, salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, you put that on one side of the scale and measure it against the words of God and the King James Bible, that thing's going to be in balance. Because Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's in balance. Now take a look at what the devil did in Genesis chapter 3. He introduced something that was not a just balance. He really did. He shortchanged them, and he added things that weren't there, and he threw the thing off balance. And then Eve sinned. All right, look what happened in Genesis chapter 3. The woman said to the serpent in Genesis 3:2, "We may eat of the of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She left out a word. She left out the word freely. So you know what? She did not say what the Lord said. When she took out the word freely, she took out a very important word. She wasn't in balance with the scale. The thing was out of balance. She needed to add freely, and then it would have pulled the scales into balance. Verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Whoa, now she threw something in there that God didn't say. God never said anything about not touching it. Now she tipped the thing out of balance the other direction. She put something in there that wasn't there. And then lest ye die, wrong word. God said, ye shall surely die. She took that out and put lest ye die in there. She changed it, and when she did, the scale tipped out again. And then the devil said, ye shall not surely die. He added the word not, tipped the scale again. You see, the scale is never in balance until what's on one side is exactly equal to what God said on the other side. Then it'll be in balance. It's either, in this case of Genesis chapter 3, either too heavy or too light. Now you put a modern Bible on the other side of the scale, and you put a King James Bible on one side of the scale, and you put a modern Bible on the other side of the scale, you're going to end up with a false balance. They're not going to weigh out the same. You say, why? Because in an NIV, for instance, there are tens of thousands of words missing in an NIV, and 18, get it, 18, I'm going to say it one more time, 18 full and partial verses removed. You can't get a just weight with that. It will not come into balance until every word is in there exactly the way it is in a King James Bible. They're not the same. They don't balance out. And people say, well, I believe in eclectic Bible study. Boy, that's a big word. Just basically means you're going to read all the different versions and come to a conclusion. Well, they're not going to agree. And when they don't agree, how are you going to decide? You're going to decide by picking the one that you want. And when you do that, you become God. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, you're not only sometimes having to measure against standards like Jesus Christ when you're measuring righteousness, or the King James Bible when you're measuring the words of God. Sometimes you're going to have to take two things that are good and put them in the scale and weigh them against each other. Sometimes the balance is not only against a standard, but against other things of equal importance, like a man balancing his family life, his work, his personal hygiene and health, his recreation, and so forth. If these things get out of balance, he's going to suffer for it. That's why we talk about having to keep a balance in the ministry, or having to keep a balance in your family life, or having to keep a balance in your work. Now, you take the man who works a lot and then comes home and plants himself down in front of the TV all night long. Then he goes to bed, he gets back up, and he goes to work the next day. And he comes home on the weekend, he mows the grass, and he watches TV the rest of the weekend. What's out of balance? What's out of balance is he doesn't have any time for the family, and he's not taking any time for his exercise. And he's going to pay dearly for that mistake when the kids are teens and his body gets over 50 years old. Because he's going to be out of shape, and he's going to start having medical problems, and he's going to have ailments that he could have prevented by taking better care of himself. And his children are going to be running around, and they're not going to want anything to do with dad because he's never had anything to do with them. Out of balance. Now, here's the trick for Christians, if you want to call it a trick. It's the balancing act. The balancing act for Christians is balancing not only the things that are above us in that list, family life, work, personal hygiene and health, recreation. Christians not only have to worry about balancing those things like everybody else in the world has to do, but he's also going to have to balance, and more importantly so, the spiritual things and the carnal things. Now, what I'm going to say to you is probably going to shock you when you hear it right at first, but you think about it and you'll find out that it's absolutely very valid and it's very true. When a Christian gets too spiritual, he gets into the devil's realm. I'll say it again. When a Christian gets too spiritual, he gets into the devil's realm. You say, now how in the world could that possibly happen? Well, it's very simple. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, you know what happened? The devil said, I will be like the Most High. Now, aren't you going to be like God one of these days? Well, of course, you're going to get a glorified body. You'll be just like him. And is it the Holy Spirit working in you to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ? The answer is yes, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. So what's the deal? Well, you're not going to be like the Most High right now. You're kind of on your way, but you got a long way to go if you're the best Christian that ever lived. You are so, so far removed from what God is. You have got a long way to go. You know why? Because you're still lodged in this carnal flesh. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So when you try to be too spiritual, you're going to get into trouble because you're going to start to interpret the feelings, the sensuality of Christianity, and the impressions of the flesh. You're going to start to interpret those for the Holy Spirit, and you are going to get way, way off base. You're going to get way out of balance. Seriously, this stuff with tongues and miracles and signs and all this miraculous power these days, hey, God's got that stuff. Don't worry about that. But all these men that are bringing attention to themselves and all these women that are bringing attention to themselves to these signs and tongues and miracles and stuff like that, let me tell you what their problem is. They're out of balance. They have so inflated their spirituality, they're like the devil was and they want to be God. They're like Eve was, who wanted to be like God. And they forget that they're still locked in this carnal flesh and they don't want anybody else to see that. They put on this pretense of spirituality. And then when nobody else is looking, they're doing all their wicked deeds. It is wrong. It is the devil's area. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, this Bible says in verse 14 and 15, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. That's the problem. They glory and they lie against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. So they cooked it up down here. Sensual, it feels like something. Devilish, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Now you say that sounds harsh. It does. I'll grant you that. That's why I told you this is such an important thing. Listen, this pretense of spirituality is not real spirituality. And therefore, when measured, it is usually measured in a judgmental fashion. I'm better than you. And the scales get tipped by your own spirituality rather than the spirituality that's been implanted into you by the Holy Spirit of God, who is trying to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, you won't admit it. If you're hung in it, you will not admit it. Right now, there's something inside of you that says that man is wrong. He doesn't understand. I know. And you know how I know? I've been there. You try to get too spiritual, you get off in the devil's realm and forget the carnality of your flesh in which you currently reside. And you begin to put on and you begin to strive for things to make you look better than the average Joe Christian. And in your heart and in your mind, you are convinced that you are better than the average Joe Christian. Well, here's the other side of that coin. When you get too carnal, the other side of the balancing act, when you get too carnal, then you miss the holiness that God intends for you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's right. But sometimes what happens is you don't want to be so spiritual, so you get very carnal. Cuss, drink, smoke, chew, you know, never go to church, have wicked thoughts, bad motives, a lot of other things like that. And give yourself all to that and none to the spiritual things of life at all. Well, let me tell you what. Carnal Christians basically have two flaws. First flaw, everything has to go their way. They're selfish. The Corinthian church is a perfect example of a carnal Christian. Paul even says they're carnal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What was their problem? Everything had to go their way. They had to have their own way in everything they did. Their own preacher, everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? They had to have everything their way. And they began to fight over it. Envying, strife, division. The first sign of a carnal Christian is he's selfish, just like a baby. Wham, wham, want everything my way. Center of attention. Center of attention. The second flaw of a carnal Christian basically is this. They put the temporal above the eternal, just like Esau did. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. They put the temporal above the eternal. In other words, we're just going to keep it real simple. If you're trying to keep your life in balance, you've got to balance the spiritual and the carnal. And if you're too carnal, you won't be spiritual enough. And if you're too spiritual, you really won't be spiritual enough. It'll be your own. It'll be pretense. And you'll miss some of the practical things of life that you're supposed to have as a Christian. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully, with tears." Now, you cannot escape the fact that you're carnal. Paul said, "The law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." If Paul, the Christian that he was, admitted that he was carnal, admit it, you're carnal. What you simply have to do is you have to keep the carnal and the spiritual in balance. Like Paul instructed husbands in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this is just an example, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 in verses 33 and 34, he said, "He that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." Verse 32, "He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord." You see the distraction? Once he's married, now he's got to figure out a way to please his wife, whereas before he was married, he could dedicate all of his time to pleasing the Lord. A lot of Christianity is very practical, and as long as you keep Jesus and others ahead of you, and you last, you'll be in pretty good shape. Keep these things in proper balance, and everything will work out fine. So there you go. If you want a just standard on righteousness, it's Jesus. You want a just standard on the words of God, it's King James Bible. If you want to keep your life in balance, balance the spiritual with the carnal and don't let them get out of balance, and you'll be fine.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.